Blog Talk Radio.
Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You. And again, we're so excited to come to you on Marvelous Monday. As I stated on the earlier show, I said wonderful Monday. Every day is wonderful when you can wake up and you can complete whatever you need to complete, because God has guided you to get where you are. So, Father God, we thank Him for that. So, we're going to have an awesome show tonight. I'm going to give Him the praise. And, you know, we don't own the rights to that music, but we like playing that music because it touches our heart and our spirit. Let's get started with our show tonight. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And if you want to just email us, you go to talkingreal2you@gmail.com or tweet the show at talkingrealtoyou, at Lorenza D. Smith 15, at coach_L_Smith. We got a outstanding show planned for you tonight. And the title of tonight's show is, It's Time to Stop Playing. And everybody that's on this line know what I'm talking about. It's time to stop playing. Whether you're playing with political situations, or you're playing with education, or whatever you're playing with lies. So it's time for you to stop playing. And this show is going to bring them topics to you. They're going to be energetic. So make sure you be prepared to join us when we get started with our conversation. But before I can go any farther than where I am now, I got to make sure I introduce wonderful people who's joining me as a team. I can't do it without them. I do pray that they had an awesome Thanksgiving, but they'll have an opportunity to come on when I introduce them and they can share their thoughts as they give their hello for the time, because we've been off like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so we're glad to be back here. And especially this person the first person I'm going to introduce, and she's the right and left arm for Dr. Smith. She carries those DNA. She's known as the daughter of Dr. Smith, known as Lauren B. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back on. We got a good show tonight. I'm very excited about the conversations about to take place. So everybody that's tuning in, don't be afraid to call and put your input in because we love to hear it. So I'm glad to be back. So let's go ahead and get this started.
All right, then. And we're glad to have you back, Lauren. You know, your rehab has been a challenge. Every time I come on all the shows that you're co-hosting on, I tell everybody about the challenges you have and where you're coming. You can kind of get an opportunity throughout the show to explain where you are in your rehab, and that's what you want to do. We'll allow you. But we're so glad to have you back with us, Lauren. So, as you know, this show is our Talking Real to You. It's the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country that bring you energetic conversation about political, social, economics, educational, financial, as well as just plain old life issues. So, the rest of the team, I feel excited about introducing these two young ladies. They bring that special spirit to this show, and we can't do it without them. Hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. So glad to be and have her in the presence with us right now. None other than Miss Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine. How's everyone tonight? And we're so glad that Coach Smith is back with us. And just want you all to know that this is the only father-daughter blog radio show that I know about across the United States and internationally. So it's just wonderful to be a part of this team, and I hope that everyone who's listening and the team had a great Thanksgiving with their family and friends and other loved ones, all their loved ones. I know I did, and it was just so glad to just be grateful for everything that you have.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett. It's so glad to have you here, you know, and I know how it is. The weather's changing everywhere. It's getting a little cool air here and a cool air there, but we're glad to have a little what we call moving toward winter, but we're still in the fall. So we're moving toward the winter. So it's after Thanksgiving. It's about time to get Christmas. So everybody get the Christmas gifts ready. Now this last person is not least. She's important. She comes and hails from the state of Georgia, where she labors hard every day. None other than that expert, Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
Doing well. How are you all?
Awesome, awesome. We all awesome on this end. We glad to have you here, Doc. You know, it's good to have you. You know, we have a agenda that's full of some things tonight that we want to talk about. You remember now the title of this show? We're going to talk about just plain old life issues. The title is, It's Time to Stop Playing. And for those people that are out there playing, we want to give you that message. But you have a chance to call in and share your thoughts and let everybody know I'm not playing. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, team, let's kind of look at what we got going on the format for tonight. We have political climate. We want to look at what's going on in the form of political issues. Now, we got international issues, national issues. We can talk about it. I pulled a few out, and I wanted us to share our thoughts on it. And one of the first things we want to talk about is the election, the general election that happened on the first Tuesday in November. And the political climate in Alabama, Georgia, as well as Florida. And we're going to center around those candidates who was running for governor of each of those states. Well, particularly we'll look at Florida and Georgia because we had something to happen that has not ever happened. Is a historical moment. We had two African-American candidates running for the governorships of the state of Florida and the state of Georgia. You had Andrew Gillum in the state of Florida, and you had Stacey Abrams in the state of Georgia. Let's talk a little bit about and share some thoughts about those candidates. Then we'll talk about some of the issues that occurred and how the climate was in those states in regard of those candidates running for governor. team. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Who you want to start?
It's just jump in. Let's
jump in. Okay. All right. Well, first of all, in terms of the candidates, they are some of the top notch candidates that ran for those positions. Highly qualified. Great servant of the people. Care about people. Care about the issues affecting people in general. And we have a lot of work to do, but they came very, very, very close, closer than we could ever imagine without, you know, winning, which was very disappointing. But when you are stealing elections, when you are doing voter suppression, you're purging people off the voting rolls, I'd have been surprised if they didn't win in both states, because this is what they were doing. And we'll come back to when we're going to talk about specifically issues that I would like to cover in dealing with Kemp, who is the governor of Georgia. But, I mean, that was just despicable to be in the position of Secretary of State in charge of the election, and then you're purging all the roles affecting us. Of course he won, but I'm so glad that she has not, Ms. Abrams has not given up the fight. She's still fighting. To make sure that we have fair and equal elections in this country.
Awesome.
I think the one here in Georgia as well as Florida was quite challenging, but Georgia, because I'm in the midst of it, it was just very interesting to watch and to watch people abuse certain powers. And also try to close the polls in the African-American communities primarily and for the senior black citizens to not be able to get to the polls.
Wow.
Those things that were revealed were shocking, but at the same time remind me of history. These two races took us back to history when people first began to vote and how they mishandled the ballots and cheated on certain things, not allowing us to vote. It was just history repeating itself.
Wow. You know, we have to kind of keep in mind that every step that we like, we take steps forward and to the point where we have qualified candidates of color coming in here offering some way to bring the country together, bring the states together, because by being a governor, not only are you going to be the governor of your state of Alabama or Georgia or Florida, I'm just using those states, you're going to be representing us as masses when they have all the governors together. And you're going to have to be fighting hard to make sure there's a great opportunity for everybody of people of color. So to have this kind of thing, or have these kind of things going on, we know that there's a problem, and we're in the 21st century where all of this is supposed to be corrected, and we're moving in the right direction. So we see there are some issues there, and we, like I said, we want to talk about the issue. But before we do that, Coach Smith, since you're joining us tonight, is there any thought you want to share in regards to those candidates and those individuals in Florida and Georgia running? Iran?
Me and one of my friends, we were watching. He's an attorney, and we were actually at a what is it called, campaign party.
The
campaign party celebration. We were watching the results coming in, and he has friends that live in Georgia as well as Florida who are attorneys as well. And as the results were coming in for Georgia, we kind of knew the Georgia race was out of reach, but the Florida race, this is the thing that got me. It was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and there was people who were still in line trying to vote in Miami, okay?
Mm.
And Andrew Gilliam was out there saying, please stay in line, please don't get out of line, please stay in line. And it was a lady on CNN, because we ended up turning to CNN, who said, this reminds me of what my grandparents told me in the 1960s about voter suppression. This is not how it used to look. They're not making us count jelly beans or pay a poll tax, but they're going to see if we're willing to stand in this line 2-3 hours to vote. And she said a lot of people are turning around. She said, but I refuse to turn around. She said, because my grandmother fought for this right for me to vote. She said, so I'm going to stay in the line. That race, those two races right there were probably one of the most embarrassing things that have, in my opinion, that have come of this administration from the White House. For that to happen, that looks bad upon the administration. That has nothing, that's administration. That's manipulative ways showing up. And that's all it was. I was, as an American citizen, I was appalled.
Awesome. There you go. Melania speaking out, letting us know, and you can do the same. 347-857-4192. We want you to join in the conversation. We'll identify you after you press 1 with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to join in by identifying yourself and your location, and you can join in the conversation. All right, since we had our summary of what we saw that happen on that first Tuesday, let's look at some of these things that occurred in regards to manipulation of the vote in the form of polls being actually, I'll say, stagnated, so people would be backed up for hours so they can walk away, or to the point where they had ballots, wrong ballots being delivered to the wrong place. And I was kind of surprised, even by dealing with Florida after living down there, knowing that they do early voting, and it was some situation where a lot of those individuals' early votes were somehow misplaced. So let's kind of talk about our expertise in regard to what we had heard in regards to some of the mishaps that occurred in this election.
Well, you also had, in addition to all of that, you had old voting machines that broke down. In some polling places, you only had 2 voting machines actually operational so that people could vote, which made the lines even longer. Prior to that, and have to look at the different states all over this country and just see what your legislators have done to roll back the right to vote and to make it easier for voting. In this country of America, where it should be easy because we are a democracy and we preach democracy around the world, why is voting, which is a right of us as Americans, it should not be this hard to cast a vote, but it's becoming increasingly difficult, especially after President Obama's tenure as president, where voting was, you had more polling places open, you had places open on Sundays where people could go to souls to the polls and things of that nature. So I think because they didn't want to see what happened then, trying to roll back to make sure that they just make it harder. And according, you know, Coach Smith, you're right, this particular administration, the country is going increasingly minority. And this is a way of trying to keep the last vestige of an old system long ago. And that's something that we do not want to turn back to. So all these things are, and this is just the beginning. If we don't get a handle on it ourselves and demand our rights as Americans to cast a vote and to cast it freely and easily.
Awesome, awesome. You know, that's what we're dealing with.
And I think that there was ample time to get those machines up to par, have adequate numbers of machines in certain areas, especially with African Americans. I saw on television where, I mean, people standing in lines with 3 machines.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And some people not being allowed to vote because it appeared they were not in line.
Mm-hmm.
one gentleman said he stepped out of line. He had to go and get some water after waiting for so long. And he came back, but he was denied the right to vote because they said he was not in line at 7 o'clock.
Wow.
In the case in down in Georgia, you all also had some with this. You have to have this match. Your signature and everything on your registration must completely match.
Correct.
If there's a comma or a whatever out of place, your initial or whatever. I'm right. Correct.
Correct.
On that, yeah. Then you. You have a right to demand a provisional ballot, but you you still worry about whether or not your vote's going to be able to cast. So, see, Kemp, as Secretary of State, all that was already in place. So this was, you know, the setup from the very beginning in Georgia. And that's what really, you know, I think I was more hurt because you just don't want to keep seeing this over and over and over again. But these types of things, that's why everyone needs to be familiar with your state's Secretary of State, the legislatures, what has been voted on in terms of voting as an American citizen in your state, because it varies from state to state.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that we have to continue to educate our, not educate our cultural and educate everybody that's dealing with voting. Just because you say you have the right to vote, there are ways that when other people are out thinking of ways to deny you, cause you to lack up opportunity to vote, we have to be aware on what exactly the laws, what are the laws, what are the voting laws that we have to deal with, ID laws, because, you know, one of the things they try to do early is get people to make sure they get the right name and have the right name out in the registered office. And I think that was some of the problems that a lot of people ran into as well. Because, you know, a lot of people use hyphens in their name, but it may have not showed up as a hyphen. So if you didn't have a hyphen in your name on your ID or on their paper, they wouldn't let you vote. And as Dr. Smith was saying, people were standing in line. And, like, even though the polls closed at 7 o'clock, some of them couldn't get off work between that time, but you know that the law says you should be, your employer should allow you to get off enough time to vote. But some people don't do that and can't do that, so you have to wait till the after you get off work. So if you get there at 6:30 and you're in line at 7 for closing time, but if you, like this gentleman, walked out of line just to get a cup of water, get a swallow of water, get something, or walk back in line, they're going to tell me he couldn't vote. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. This is nothing to do about making America great again. This is more about putting a stamp on that we're going to control what you're doing in society. And when we're controlling you as a person and as a group of people, then we have some major problems here. So that leads us to, as I stated earlier, about Florida had early voting. And by having early voting, that means some people had voted, like I heard Sunday being used. And some of those people had voted on Sunday. And when they voted on Sunday, again, when it came to counting their votes, they couldn't even find their votes, couldn't find their ballots. And that's the kind of thing that discourages individuals. And they don't feel like they need to go and vote. They don't need to go and spend their time because their vote don't matter. But, you know, that's not true. Every vote counts. State of Florida proved that, and even in the state of Georgia, because we're still counting ballots to make sure we meet what we need. So those are the kind of things that we're dealing with our election process, and it's discouraging. It's so discouraging. And Coach Smith can probably share this with me, if I know a couple people online, is that here in Alabama, there was a situation at a polling place. They had the ballots from one place over at the other place, which was the wrong place. And that's why I put on there the wrong place. You had the ballots at the wrong place. And that was in the state of Alabama. So there's so many things going on that cause us to discourage ourselves. But I say, don't let them do that. Don't let them discourage you casting a vote and making a difference. Because if we continue to come together and we get out there and vote like we're supposed to, we can put the right people in the right place. Even though everybody that's working against us, just like the young man, the Secretary of State of the state of Florida. Then you had a situation in, not Florida, but in Georgia. But in Florida, you had a situation where the governor, you know, the governor ran for the senator position. And, you know, they recounted his vote as well as they recounted the governor's vote, the candidates for governor, and he had some say-so, and they asked him to step down just like they did in Georgia. So we got so many issues going on, and I want us to kind of continue to share our thoughts because I think it's important. But you can put it as well, 347-857-4192, or you can tweet or email us to let us know what you have on your mind. You might not want to come on the show, but it'd be nice if you just call in, and that way we can hear your voice and hear who you are. Team, just kind of address some things that you may have heard about recounting. Are they still recounting votes in states, or are they working toward it? Are they through recounting? I know there's a situation where their candidates are not willing to concede until they give official numbers. So share your thoughts on that, team.
I think that the one in Utah with this Mia Love, I think that she finally conceded either yesterday or today. So a Democrat has did win that seat for that. We do know that there is another election in Mississippi tomorrow.
Yeah, Michael Epps.
It's imperative because Hyde Smith has been all over the airwaves. 45 is down there tonight. He's campaigned for her twice today to get their vote out, to gin up their vote, but on the back of race. It always goes back to that. It all, you know, and that, this thing that's just so hurtful is that the only way you can get people to come out and vote on the other side is to go back to a bygone era. There were two noose, they found two noose hanging on the trees near the Capitol, Mississippi, today, because this lady had talked about going to a public hanging. We know the history of Mississippi, but also throughout the country, and particularly in the South. I'm in South Carolina. We know the histories. And how do you think that makes someone wanting to vote the electorate to go out and vote? Gerrymandering is another big problem. They will, and I hope that the gerrymandering is being attacked now. We're now getting into trying to stop some of the, stop that, where they would draw lines to make sure that those on the other side will always win those seats, because they'll draw the lines to make it look like, you know, like a squiggly line. They'll go out to the nation to make sure that land, that district, is advantageous to the person that they want to see running, people see running for these positions. It's hard for us in this country. And again, you're talking about making America great. You know, we need to stop this because we're already great. And we for democracy around the world, people look to us, or used to anyway. I hope they still can, but this is like a banana republic, you know, where you're scared to vote. If you vote, you better vote a certain way, because if not, you know, you could be in prison or you could be killed. We've had people killed in this country who have died back in the during the day for the right to vote. So those are just my thoughts.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
And my thinking is that after Obama, I think there is a greater push to try to maintain certain people in office, not allow others in, and to block it or not have them in significant positions, such as Stacey Abrams here or a black governor in Florida. I think there's just a great effort to pull together and not have these people in office so that we control, so that they, not we, they control the political arena.
Exactly. And every day we constantly see things that are going on. And, well, what we must come up with a plan that we can address our issues and how, you know, one of the things I think was discussed and one that we're going to keep it as one of our brand is that we're going to take it block by block. And we have to educate everybody in relation to voting laws, in relation to what's going on in the community, so we can take it block by block, because we can't do it as a whole, because somehow when we do that, there are always some division there, and it's easy to divide a house, to conquer a house by taking it one part and giving another part something when the other part don't have it. So the bottom line is that we need to continue to use that brand that we're talking about, working block by block in a community, so everybody can learn and be educated.
We need to start demanding from these corporations, these companies, these businesses, to stop investing their money. We stop investing our money in those that support these underhanded tactics. I was glad to see that, again, back to Mississippi, that some of those corporations have pulled out with this lady who's running against SB for the Senate. That's the last position for Senate in the country from this vote. So she voted, still going on in some places, no county, because they had to do a runoff. But the thing I couldn't understand is, if you knew this lady was already having these views, why were you invested in her campaign in the first place? Major League Baseball pulled out today. They had given her a $5,000 contribution. You had Walmart. You had other companies that had given her money. Why would corporations and businesses that do not represent the people that support and buy their products, why do you continue to be silent, to contribute, and not speak out on these issues? As wealthy as some of these people have become, do you realize that these corporations started pulling out and could make a big difference is what's happening in that White House, what's happening in the Senate, and what's happening in the Congress that's getting ready to go out and the new one coming in. But it could make a difference in the country. And I think we've talked about that before on this show. I know, Dr. Smith, you and I have talked about this a lot on previous shows, you know, about the support that and the support we need from the business and corporations to make a difference in this country. When you can't get it any other way, money talks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, it does. Awesome, awesome. And just to kind of add to that, when we think about these, like Major League Baseball pulling out now, you know, somehow they were supporting that issue. It seemed like every time something happened, we find out that these corporations or these major venues with athletics or supporting things that go on, but then the minute they are called out to the forefront, then all of a sudden they want to pull out. If you've been supported, don't pull out now, because we know how the Major League Baseball is made up anyway. It ain't made up with many African-American individuals or people of color. They're from other countries. So we know what that's all about. So why you want to pull out now? Stay there and give a $5,000 supporter. Because the money, you've been putting the money in the campaign before. This ain't the first time. You're really showing who you are now, and now you want to pull out that other organization as well. But we have to just kind of try to get into that what's going on, so we can be able to work block by block, do what we can to support and educate our individuals about voting and voting strength, and coming together and making sure we can be successful and get the right candidates in the office. You know, we can fight hard and kill and hurt each other over these small positions, but those positions that determine where we're going, the senator positions and your governor's position. But we're told in these certain areas we can't run, because let me ask you this question, team. What would that do to a young African-American person when they see that there's a person like Gillum and like Abram and all the kind of stuff they're going through? Is it in their mind they say maybe it's going to change? Well, the same thing we said in 2000. It's 18 years later. What are we going to look at in 2036? Is it going to change? And that's just something I'm throwing out because we need to try to address the whole picture here. So, you know, that's just something I want to throw out and let you think about for a second. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And let's kind of look at what kind of effect would this be on our young people, seeing all of this mishandling of voting and all these things that are going on dealing with voting and dealing with our opportunity to represent people. What kind of effect we think that'll have on our young people?
Well, I think it gives them an opportunity to experience history for itself and to learn appreciation for it. You know, to see those two candidates go forth and do what they, I mean, exceptional people here in Georgia, here in Florida. I think it should influence young people. It did influence me that they were running and that now even Abrams is suing the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of history needs to come out and be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it gives them a chance and also sets a platform for them to move forward with that, with
okay.
what we know of history, with what we know of politics. You get
mm-hmm.
to see how politics is really played out,
mm-hmm.
especially
mm-hmm.
in these two elections.
Wow.
That's a good point about the line that you just said about the seeing how the politics are played out. I agree with that 100%. And what folks don't realize, we can only see politics from our selfish or individual point of view sometimes. We don't see the wider look on this. Do you realize that when we elect these politicians, well, president or whomever, and especially with the president and those members of the Senate. Now, the Senate's going to still be in control of those who are not Democratic. The House is now going to be in control of the Democrats, and they have subpoena power. So a lot of these things that we have not had full disclosure and transparency, we'll be able to see that on that side. But the Senate, that's where your judges come from. When we're talking about young people and young men being indiscriminately shot, just like the young man in the mall, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the wrong man, they shot the wrong guy, shot the wrong man, and then tried to vilify him or did vilify him as a criminal. This
mm-hmm.
was a former soldier, former veteran, and someone who had a permit to carry a concealed weapon. And from the reports coming out, he was really trying to help to make sure that everybody else was safe. They shot the wrong man and then lied about it.
Mm.
If that goes to a federal to court, which it probably is, it makes its way.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate
mm-hmm.
controls who's been appointed to these federal judge positions and the Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell
mm-hmm.
said that was that's going to be his legacy, is
mm-hmm.
to make sure that those courts are full of federal judges and those on Supreme Court who represent some of the most conservative views that you can imagine. And this is what's already started. So we got to look beyond just, you know, going to vote on a Tuesday in November on voting day.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond that. It's beyond politics. And if we want to have a difference with millennials, Gen Xers, and on up, then we got to start taking this stuff seriously and looking at it from not just your point of view, but from a global point of view, because your Social Security, how are you going to face retirement? Because if you live long enough, you're going to retire, hopefully, and you want to retire
mm-hmm.
in good standing and with money that you can live the rest of your life on. These things are affecting you now. The generation is going to be cut out of the Social Security and all those things, and affordable health care we've talked about on this show also. And in addition to that, the pre-existing conditions. You may not have pre-existing conditions, but you get married, and let's say you have a child that does have pre-existing condition. mm-hmm. or your mother, your father, your grandparents. So just beyond you. It's beyond the individual. This is for all of us, and we've got to take this stuff seriously. So, like you said, Dr. Smith, we got to stop playing with this stuff. Stop playing. This is real serious, serious work.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about. We got to stop playing. Time to stop playing, and that's the title of the show. And we don't want to be playing. Now, you can call in 347-857-4192. All right, we're going to take our next topic dealing with education. And it's the focus on the, we're going to discuss the majority of those individuals, I'm sorry, the minority candidates in the state of Florida that are failing that teacher's exam at a high rate. And there's some discussion because I saw it in an article as well as a Twitter account when they was talking about how they're going to address what was going on with the large number of African Americans that are failing the teacher's test in the state of Florida, as well as the situation in New York where they already settled a lawsuit for $1 billion to those candidates because that test was considered to be racist bias. Let's talk a little bit about that because we have some numbers here in regards to the test in the state of Florida, and it's not looking good for African Americans because you're saying 26% of them are passing that test. And we have to get into the meat of the whole situation, but we just want to just talk a little bit about it. You can be a part of this as well, so make sure you call in 347-857-4192. As any thoughts on that team in regards to that teacher's test?
It's always does anybody else want to go first?
Now go ahead on, Ms. Flag.
No, go on.
Okay, all right. Well, that's these stats are nothing new. This has been forever. I mean, this is what happens. The bias of the test, but also you have to take a look at the teacher certification programs at these colleges and universities, particularly on our HBCU campuses, to make sure that there's a level playing field, to make sure that the training that is needed, the information needed to be successful on these certification tests are in place. And with this news coming out and here in South Carolina, we got coming out at the end of this week, this will be test scores, a report card on the state of education in this state. So it's already been forecast. That's not going to be good either. So I think this has been effective just about wherever you go. But again, you have to be prepared. You have to make sure that you're in the course. You have to make sure you're in accredited courses. I've hired people that I had one situation with a young man in this state that was in the wrong course and had really worked hard to get him certified. And as a result of that, he had reduced salary for a year in trying to get his situation straightened out. So these things happen. So you have to make sure that you are meeting with the right counselors, you're getting the right guidance and advice. You got to make sure that you're in accredited teacher ed certification training classes and courses. And then you have to make sure that you're taking advantage and going beyond that to get prepared and make sure that you can try to make the playing field as level as possible, which is sometimes very difficult to do. But you have to go around, above, and under, or whatever it takes. If it's worth it and if it's important, then this is what you have to do.
Great. Dr. Smith.
Well, I was just thinking about that because I'm not up to date on the teacher's licensing situation. And I hadn't heard that about the minorities, failing at a high rate. If we are failing at a higher rate, then why are we failing? And again, as Ms. Black said, hopefully the material is being covered. in HBCUs because I've had experiences being covered on the other side. They are covering it. They are passing these tests, and they are ensuring that it occurs, not only with education, but I see that also with social work, where the prep is, I mean, it's just right on. And so the passage rate is much higher. And I'm just hoping that that's happening. I've had experience in a college setting, however, where the students were preparing for the test and they had to take it and pass it before they could graduate from college, which was more stressful for them. It was very stressful because they were trying to pass the test and also trying to graduate.
And Dr. Smith, you brought out a good point. And Coach Smith, you sharing your thoughts in regards to what's kind of happening in regards to the teachers' certification in Alabama, what they're kind of doing, what they had included, what they have, and what they've been piling at some of these colleges and universities that you may have experienced because you just finished recently in 17. So you got any thoughts about that?
So the reason why minorities are failing at a rapid rate, especially at HBCUs, is because a lot of the instructors are not equipped to teach the necessary material. So you have kids, let's say you have 20 kids in education class, and only 5 pass the first test that you have to take to even be admitted into the teacher's program. People don't understand this. Before this new system called EdTPA came out, you had to be admitted into the teacher's program. So you could take all these classes before, so you could take your basic education classes, and if you do not pass the basic skill test to actually be admitted into the program, you end up doing what a lot of us had to do, which is being non-cert. That's what they call it. You're a non-certified teacher. You graduated in education, but you're non-cert, which basically means you don't have a teaching certificate. You took the classes, you couldn't pass the test, so you don't have a teaching certificate. Well, a lot of times that basic skills test, I'm not trying to be funny, is basically ACT, but one step up. So you have kids that are basically taking the ACT at 20 and 21, who probably didn't do good on the ACT at 16 and 17, and now they have to take it again. But it's even harder now. See, when you took it at 16 and 17, all you had to make it, when I was coming to school with a 17 or 18, you get in school. But now you can't do that. Now you got to make a 20, 21 to get in school. So you got kids who were making 16 and 17. Now, take my crew, making 16 and 17. Now we have to take that same test again, but now the stakes are higher. Now if we don't pass this test, we will not be admitted to the program. So not being admitted to the program causes for a lot of people to go non-cert, like I said before. But I just looked up some information, and I really want to get this out. Out of 46,000 teachers in the Alabama public school system during the school year 2016 and 2017, only 9,000, so 19%, were African American. Only 19% were African American. And when you ask yourself,
I think I hired most of them in my school.
Why? I'm telling you why. It's because our instructors coming from the HBCU are not as equipped to teach or to prepare to take that test as those of a PWI. I'm telling you the God honest truth. That was before the new system came in. We were not as equipped because our teachers were not as equipped to prepare us for the test.
My earlier statement was about the teacher ed programs, and I won't say that all of our teachers are in HBCUs are not equipped, but I do think the administration at each of these schools, we put a lot of money into our athletic programs, our football, basketball, particularly football programs, and this type of thing. We got to make sure that these administrators, these college presidents, these deans, are making sure that they are equipped and that they're hiring some of the best to teach the future generations of our teachers in this country. And a lot of folks are not going into some of these programs now because of discipline, money,
mm-hmm.
you know, earn a living, and these types of things. So there's a lot of factors that go into this.
And let me kind of jump in now because I serve as a college adjunct professor, so I kind of know what's going on because I deal with interns on a daily basis. I have two right now. And one of the things I think Coach Smith is saying is very important because what she said is that there was a minimum score to get you in college, which is the ACT, and this basic skill test is just a step up above that. And a lot of them, when you first come into college, you make that minimum score, and you kind of get to a point now you got to make adjustments because college from high school is adjustment for people. Everybody just don't walk in the door and be able to go because a lot of people don't even make it through the whole process. You know, I was always told when I went to college, look to your left, look to your right. Somebody may not be here next semester or somebody won't be here next year because college may not be for everybody. So if I come to college and I get the 17, 18 to meet the requirement to get in college, then I come back and going through all the coursework that should get me to the point but didn't focus on the things that I had to learn that dealing with this basic this test you call a basic skill or teacher's test, then I end up falling short because over there with ours, our students have to pass a exit exam. They have to pass the exit exam. They do that, and once they pass that exit exam, then they have to do EdTPA, which is a certification program that helps students get ready through internships and everything. It is used in Georgia. Georgia is one of the first states that use it because the young lady that comes over and help prepare us to do what we need to do is from Columbus State University, which is in Columbus, Georgia. So Georgia's always used the EdTPA. Now Alabama's going to use it. And something was said a little earlier, I want to kind of touch on it. Some places, and I think Dr. Smith said, those individuals have to pass, and it's tied to them graduating. That's something came out of the dean at the university that I'm at, said that those 20 interns we had to pass the EdTPA, had to pass, which is required, the exit exam, before they could graduate. So it brought up a lot of conversation about it, which eventually they changed that because they're not quite ready to do this. First of all, I think it's easy for us to put out cutoff scores and put out where we want people to be, but it's hard for us to get them prepared to be there. And it's a preparation from coming from high school to getting into college. And if you choose to go into a teacher education program, which is scarcely being numerous, down so late, like Lauren said, 46,000 teachers and only 19% of them are African American, but our school system is 47,000 or more are African Americans. That, you know, something is not gelling there, and we just have to do something. We don't have the answers tonight. We'll never have all the answers, but it's a good topic to be able to talk about. And we was talking about how they're failing in the state of Florida. Now, I can tell you, when I was living down there, all I heard was, oh, we have a great system. We have one of the top system in number five in the country, Broward County. We have the number one system in Miami, down in Dade County, Miami-Dade County. You know, but you're talking about superintendent getting paid $1 million and people getting paid teaching $100,000. But now you read this. You're reading this saying that teachers been given pink slips throughout the state of Florida. because they couldn't pass the test. So now, you know, we're dealing with a situation where you're boasting and bragging about, you know, you got the best, but you don't have the teachers really performing at the level, because some of those teachers are considered to be evaluated as good teachers, but they could not pass the test. They've been working, so they released them. 1,000 of them, so they got a lawsuit. Same thing happened in New York. Court seller with a $1 billion lawsuit. So we got these things going on, and in California, we need to take what they're doing. You know, California is the most liberal state that is, but they have over 67% of African-Americans who take that test for the first time passing. 77% of Mexican or Hispanics take the test passing. 92% of whites pass the test when they take it for the first time. So if they're doing something special, we need to see what they're doing, so we can use the same thing. And I know how we do with tests, but that's my thoughts on it. And you can do the same. 347-857-4192. Do we have any other thoughts in regards to the teachers' test? Anything else we talked about? Because we're getting close to the hour to wrap everything up, because we got about 4 or 5 minutes, and I'm going to let each one of you share your thoughts. So we're going to come back to this again, because we're going to talk about it, because there'll be some more information that's going to come out in the next week or 2 weeks, next month, in your state, whoever state it is. We want you to call in and share and tell us. I just pull out 3 states that was comparable, because everybody want to go to Florida, everybody want to go to New York, and everybody want to go to California. So I use those 3 too. Team, give us some last thoughts in regards to that.
Well, I just think that, you know, when you're talking about statistics and putting stats, and the stats that come out in public, that's published, what you don't see is a disaggregation of those stats. You just see a wrong number, 67%. But what's behind the numbers? And that's what I like, looking more at the analysis of it instead of just looking at a whole number like that, or numbers, but that's what you usually see published. And I know that this week I'll be particularly interested in looking at the scores coming out here, but I want to look behind what those scores are saying. Because you can make a wholesale statement about, you know, this, that, and the other, and you can make numbers kind of fit what you're trying to accomplish or not accomplish.
Exactly.
But looking behind those numbers tell you a lot of information that you won't see published publicly. And that's what I'd be interested in, looking at the analysis, disaggregation of those scores.
Exactly.
For those stats.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's awesome to take a look at that and see what's behind the curtain. You know, how do we move forward with making sure these teachers can pass these tests to get certified?
Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what we want to make sure is happening.
And test scores, or do you need to start looking at portfolios, a portfolio method, where, you know, test scores is just one part of it, but also the performance of the person doing their internship or things of that nature.
Exactly. All of that is so important. So important. We can just give numbers, and everybody can make numbers to fit like they want them. You know, I want to have some
there
data. I can make data look good for everybody. But when you start looking at the real picture, look at the race, and look
the
at
real
the number,
picture,
black,
right.
Male, female, when they get disaggregated, when we start disaggregating this thing, you'd be like, hold up a minute. You just gave me some numbers, but that's what it is. A person with data, that's what they call a data man, he can make it look as beautiful as he wants. He can sell you and make you buy swamp land with them numbers. But the bottom line is, you better look at what's behind that land, because that land look good. Walk on it. When you go through flies, you might sink pretty low, and that's what's happened with data. So that's one of the things we want to look. But we just want to touch bases on a couple things dealing with that, because they're talking about it, and we want to talk about the hottest topics, with political topics. We want to talk about educational topics. We're not talking about it. We're going to come back again and talk about a little bit on the next show we have when we get some other numbers. As Ms. Black said, the state of South Carolina will be coming out with some numbers and coming out what's going on, but they want to make sure they look at all phases of it. And we're going to do the same thing. We go back and look at Florida as well as look at Georgia and other states and all over the country. So this is where we are in the show tonight. And we, you know, we have always have an awesome show, but we're getting ready to close it out, and I want the team to kind of close it out how they want to, and then we'll call it another successful night. And you can start when you want to, whoever want to be first with closing it out the way you feel comfortable closing it out.
Well, I just want to say I believe we are at a point in history that is quite historical. I think history is repeating itself, and we just have to keep our eyes open.
Awesome.
We can't be caught sleeping on the job. We have to keep our eyes open, and this past election has caused many of us to do that. And we must get to the polls and vote.
Awesome.
We must.
Awesome. That's awesome, Doc. Yep. That's what we
I
mean.
Think that this has been an awesome show. As you see, we all have a lot of fire about how, you know, how we feel about what's going on. And we just need to stay, as President Obama, we just have to stay fired up. And that doesn't mean being mean and ugly, and being just downright terrorism about certain things. We just don't need to do that. We're seeing that from what's happening in our White House, and name calling and things of that nature. But we have a lot of things in this country that we just got to stop playing and get real with ourselves and stop looking at just from our own little corner of the world, but how it's going to affect all of us, and in different areas with criminal justice, with judges, with education, with the social issues, affordable health care, pre-existing conditions, all those things that are affecting all of us. And we got to look at things from a global point of view and sometimes not from a selfish one. I'm just going to say this right quick. I was just from a young lady in Florida before the vote came out on Tuesday for her governor, had sent me a message or wrote me and said, what can you tell me? Why should I vote? Or why should I vote? And I almost just broke down in tears, because I'm thinking, like, you know, this man has been running for the governor of Florida for 2 years. Pick up something and read. Watch the news. Educate yourself. Be informed about what's happening. You shouldn't have to ask me to give you information on why. You should be kind of, you know, involved in the conversation too. So it's going to take all of us, and not sitting around for someone else, like I think Dr. Smith, you said one time before, someone to come in and save us on a white horse. The white horse is not coming. We have got to do it for ourselves, and we have got to be educated and be informed people about what's happening and what we need to do to try to circumvent it.
Awesome, awesome. Ms. Black, that is so right. That's so right. Coach Smith, you want to share some thoughts before we get ready to close out of here?
Yeah. I just want to say this. All the young people out there in school want to be educators. Don't let the numbers discourage you, because it's not a very, how can I say this? It doesn't pay good, but it pays good. You might not receive a big check, but at the end of the day, if you go home and you know that you've helped at least one kid, I think you've done your job. So don't become discouraged. I know the numbers may seem discouraging, but, you know, stay the course. It's also rewarding. Take it from me. It's rewarding. But just stay motivated and stay focused. And that goes with politics too. Stay motivated and focused, because we are next. And if you know you're next, you'll prepare yourself. So that's what I like to do. I prepare myself because I am next. And I try to teach my little sister that you are next. So let me prepare you, because you are next. Ain't no, you're the next generation. Your parents are done. You're the next generation. You're the change generation. So as long as you know that, we'll be fine. But the second, you know, we forget it as a generation is the second that we've lost really what our parents and our grandparents worked so hard for.
Awesome, awesome. You know, that's awesome right there. But, you know, we had an outstanding show. We had some topics. Those two main topics was just on point. And we're going to continue to talk about it. On the next show, we'll continue because we'll have some new numbers. We'll have some other states in here, and we'll have some solutions. But we want you to do the same thing. Make sure you join us in 2 weeks. It is every other Monday. You can join us and make sure you're a part of it. And we're going to make sure we stay on our timetable like we're supposed to, because when we miss a week or two, we just kind of lose that pop. But tonight was outstanding. Team, I really appreciate you joining us tonight, joining everybody and sharing your thoughts tonight on these two magical topics. And we're going to be working on them a little bit next time as well. But, you know, we're at the end of the show now. And I want each one of the team members to say good night and say goodbye how you see fit. Then I'll come and close it out for good, and we'll end this hour like we should. Starting with Ms. Black, you can start off first and share your thoughts with them to close it out.
This has been a wonderful show, and again, talking real talk throughout the country. And we're so glad that you joined us tonight, and we hope that whatever we've said or whatever that we've inspired you, motivated you, and just let you know there is hope. Never forget, there is hope. Regardless of how things look right now and how bad things may be in some areas, and maybe we didn't win everything that we should have or we thought we could have, there is hope. And it's getting closer and closer, but things are going to change, and there's nothing wrong with that. So just know, hope is still alive. Hope is still well. Hope is still real. Have a great night,
awesome.
And thank you again for joining us.
Awesome.
Good night.
Awesome. Good night. All right. We had a great show tonight. You know, we're getting to the end. Like I said, always, you know.
You may think that it's over. That your life is done. Oh my,
don't swear. And last but not least, you'll tell everybody. Make sure you join us on Wednesday on Talking Sports Lunch with my co-host. That'll be with me, Tony Starworth, my F-word, Laura Smith, Carol Jeff Elliott. Then on Friday at 4 o'clock, we'll be back with you again, and we'll be having Ballers with the Dogs in our whole set show. But there were 2 weeks.
He wrote
it for
vision for you to win.
Come on now. We'll keep on trying. Because the best has yet to come. And I'm going to tell you, because I tell you every time that I'm going to get back talking with you. I love you, and say you can do it.
I don't care what people told you. You ain't true no more. My brother.
Your
what you know?
Your
I want to encourage you. is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. And I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't.